listen to a pretty all right podcast about wrestling, do ya?
Well, the natural lad, Jeff Swagg, has said time and time again that there's only one podcast that's the most decent and the most all right in the industry today.
And that's who? It's the Dave Raven Wrestling Podcast. Welcome back, everybody, to Game Rage Wrestling.
Oh, you didn't know?
Oh, well, your ass better fucking get out your cell phone, telephone, and send out a DM and or text message, because you about to find out. My name's Josh, here today with good buddy Adam.
Yes, hello, greetings.
Today we're going to talk about Monday Night Netflix, the first episode of Monday Night Raw on Netflix. But before we do that, we want to talk about a very major announcement, and we want to say as a result of this Monday Night Raw on Netflix that we can officially say that Game Rage Wrestling is now hashtag All Elite. All right, we've just signed with All Elite Wrestling, and we've left WWE behind, and we will never, well, not never speak of them again, but we are no longer signed with WWE. We've now betrayed them. We've gone to All Elite.
All no cell wrestling.
We are now hashtag all elderly. All right. So
learning tree wrestling,
learning tree, game rage wrestling, game rage, learning tree. Anyways, stay tuned for next week's guest. Chris Jericho, actually.
The fucking Chris Jericho Appreciation Society wrestling
podcast. That's what this is going to be. Anyways, before we get into that, though, if you want to go to Game Rage Magazine on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok, that'd be cool as hell. Like, follow, comment, and subscribe. You can also go to Game Rage Mag on Twitter if that's more your speed. Also, if you want to follow Adam, you can follow him at All Gas No Trash Official on Instagram, YouTube as well.
You stupid idiot.
You can also follow him on substack.com/@AllGasNoTrashOfficial. And you can read his 22,000 word essay on music and how you can be better at analyzing it and how you're not doing enough. Anyways. All right. So Monday Night fucking Netflix.
It's Jover. That's all. That should be the title of the episode. It's fucking Jover.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna change that. It's Jover. man, this thing was so bad all the way around. Almost, man.
Yeah, I think the hard part to digest was I don't know why Triple H. Paul Levesque, I don't know why he opted to acknowledge. I don't know why he chose to acknowledge the meta of wrestling. Like, what does that do? I don't understand. Like, is that insulting to the intelligence of the viewer that we couldn't figure it out that it's not fucking real? Like, what does it mean, dude, when he does something like that?
I will say this, right, because I've talked to a lot of WWE apologists about this over the last, like, fucking week or whatever it's been, week and a half.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's only been a week.
Yeah, that's right. It was just last Monday. My days are all fucked up. But anyways, over the last week or six and a half days since this has happened, I've been talking to a lot of WWE apologists, and I brought that up. As like, why the fuck did we need this? And they're like, oh, it's for everybody. People that don't understand about wrestling. I'm like, okay, I see what you're saying. So you're telling me that at the beginning of like a TV show, if you're going to watch the first episode, that it's going to explain everything and what it is. No, that's fucking not how it works. This pissed me off as a wrestling fan. I don't give a fuck about these new people that want to come in. You'll learn the shit the hard way like we all did, right? Or some other asshole will explain it to you. You can go on the internet now and you can look up these things and find out what they are. I don't need the guy who's running the show to come on and fucking say this shit. Now, I also don't believe that Triple H has as much control as it's been led to believe. I think that this was Netflix telling them they needed to do this. And I think that he didn't have a choice and he just went out there and had to do it. So, which also I think does not bode well for this product if Netflix is going to now be calling the shots with stuff. And the apologists were very, oh man, we need to just be incorporating in all this stuff. And I'm like, no, no, no. We don't need to do any of this shit. I, as a fan, was insulted that this fucking shit had to come out and get explained to people. I didn't need to hear it. No, neither did anyone else, in my opinion. And the reason I think the apologists are okay with this is because they're also stupid as hell. And they're just fucking retarded. So I cannot abide that. It really pissed me off. I didn't like that at all. But again, I think that wasn't Triple H's decision. I think that was him being told what to do. So after Triple H's promo, we then get an immediate following of that of The Rock coming out. CEO Rock, corporate Rock, full fucking shill mode. I don't like them parading these Netflix fucking executives around. I also don't like The Rock sucking their balls on television.
Yeah, literally saying I love you, like as if his next paycheck is hinging on whether he sucks the balls of fucking Netflix or not.
I mean, him and Triple H kind of sucked off Netflix and their executives by thanking them for allowing this to happen. First of all, they paid you money for the rights to air this content, right? Anyone, USA would have been glad to continue having Raw on fucking USA Network, I'm sure. So it's not like if Netflix didn't offer them this deal that Raw would have just ceased to exist. And that's kind of how they're acting. And or at least that's what it was in these with these fucking jerk-off sessions. I also don't need you to show me these fucking these Netflix executives who've likely never been to a WWE or wrestling event in their life. I don't need to see them in their fucking corporate skybox dancing around and being all happy and fucking walking around with title belt. I don't need to fucking see that. In case you guys didn't fucking get the notes, we're killing CEOs now, all right? We're killing executives on the streets for fucking being assholes. And I'll say this. Netflix assholes get to go to this thing probably likely for free, these CEOs who could afford the tickets. We couldn't afford to go to the fucking show because it was here in L.A. Nosebleeds were like $280 fucking dollars.
Well, the word is that they're not getting the WWE stars are not getting comps either for anything.
Right. But I guarantee you Netflix is. I guarantee you they got comps. I guarantee you those Netflix executives didn't have to pay for those that skybox. So, again, kind of fucking sent a bad message with that whole thing, in my opinion. Really turned me off basically right from the get-go. Now, I had already started drinking like prior to the show, so like I was already anything would have set me to a foul mood, I'm sure. I had high expectations for this.
I didn't.
And they were crushed the second it opened. Like, they were fucking instantly gone.
The stage, shit.
Gone.
The lighting was fucking amazing.
That stage, the stage was the live event stage.
Yeah, it, a little bit wider, though.
Yeah, just a little wider. But
panoramic.
Yeah, and the lighting, yeah, the lighting was good. Not because we're going to shit on this. A good point, like you had brought up, the camera work, the drone shit, the cinematic stuff. That stuff was good, man. They did a good job with that. Now, the content of the matches was kind of garbage, but they presented this turd very well. Like,
yeah,
with the cinematic nature of the cinematography.
Yeah, the fucking drone shots look great. What was the first match? Solo Sikoa?
Yeah, it was the Ula Falla fucking match.
When did Hogan come into play?
That was like halfway through.
Okay, because I forgot when that happened. But so Rock did. You got anything else for the Rock shit?
No. Other than, I mean, it'll roll into what happens in this fucking match afterwards with this Ula Falla thing, because it's not making sense to me. And sure, maybe there's some grand swerve in storyline that's going to happen, but like, you literally were trying to kill Cody Rhodes not 8 months ago.
Yeah, like you whooped his ass.
And you were like you were gonna fuck his mom. Like,
yeah.
Like you were talking about fucking his mother and literally beating his ass. Literally beating him to death in a parking lot. And now you're fully friends with Roman Reigns, and you're also
drinking it up.
Drinking
Terramana, brother.
Yeah, you're drinking fucking The Rock liquor with Cody Rhodes in the back out of red Solo cups. And you guys are just chopping it up and having a great time and just going all over everything.
Like 4 months ago, he wasn't getting his ass whooped. Or
right. Yeah. And so on SmackDown, Kevin Owens brought this up. Like,
okay, Kevin Owens, dude.
Honestly,
the lore keeper, dude.
Dude, Kevin Owens might be the savior of WWE. Like, he may single-handedly save all this shit. Because I was going to do a separate episode about this, but fuck it. I think we could just talk about it in relation to this thing specifically. Because it's related. I feel like they're just teasing the same old shit again. I feel like we're going to get Roman Reigns and fucking Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania again. For the third year in a row.
Yeah, who asked?
This is the same fucking main event. Now, granted, I'm hopeful that maybe Kevin Owens will be thrown in and this could be a three-way.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
That would be awesome. And maybe Kevin Owens gets the belt, all right? Like,
dude, they need somebody that's... I know he's not what he was 10 years ago. But why wouldn't you? I mean, if there was a chance that fucking Kevin Owens would have a main event run now, because I mean, it's been probably
10 years in, like, I think 20,
since the dawn of the Universal title, basically. Yeah, like the
2012s, I think, was when he was the champion that one or two times.
Yeah, and it's been fucking 10 years. I'm like, dude, if they're gonna do any with him, for anybody to be believed or have any delusion that Kevin Owens is going to have a championship, and they're trying to make him look formidable by using, I forgot what move it was. It's the, what is he? He's using some kind of like pile driver, isn't he?
Yeah, something like that. He's using the stunner.
He's doing that, but he's, and then I can't remember if he's also doing the muscle buster as well.
Yeah, I think he is actually.
Because that was the thing that put Randy Orton away.
Yeah.
So basically, what I'm getting at is that they're trying to make him look formidable. And if they don't fucking pull the trigger now, then at what point do you believe that Kevin Owens is a threat in any regard if he's not going to win the championship?
Well, then you can't. Then it's Jover.
Yeah, it's Jover.
It's Jover for Kevin. But anyways, back to fucking Monday Night Horseshit on Netflix. Yes, there was a couple. The Rock said bullshit a couple of times. I also want to just the Rock thing real quick to add to that. How he fucked up when he was talking, because he was he literally said, "Finally, the WWE or Monday Night Raw has come back to Netflix." And I was like, "You dumb motherfucker! They've never been on Netflix. Like, what do you mean they've finally come back?" And then he immediately realized what he did, and then he moved into, "Oh, y'all don't want to hear that bullshit, though." So, and then he did the "Finally, The Rock has come back to LA" or whatever thing to cover that fuck up.
All right, because I don't know if I paid attention to that. Is it possible he just said "Finally, Raw has come to Netflix" instead of?
No, he said "and come back to Netflix." Oh, fuck! Let me see if I can find it. I can probably find it on YouTube. We can watch it real quick just so we can be confirmed. Because maybe I am wrong.
All right. Just
The Rock
promo for
promo
WWE Raw Netflix. Netflixy.
Let's see. The Raw. That's some asshole. The Rock walks backstage preview. Then I'll fuck Cody Rhodes. Is this it? No, that's on set SmackDown. No, that's Monday Night Raw. Oh yeah, here it is. All right. Wait.
All right, we got. So we got. Do we have to pause this?
Yeah, I
got to
pause it real quick. All right, so I'll pause the recording. All right, hold on. All right, so we just listened to it. Yeah, confirm that he does say
come back. Yeah,
finally the WWE has come back to Netflix or whatever.
For the first time. Yeah. For the last time.
So, that was AIDS, right?
Yeah, it was.
That match, dude, that Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa match.
Put me to fucking sleep, dude.
It was way too fucking long.
The stakes, I mean.
The stakes could never have been lower.
Right? Like, yeah. I mean, man, for us trying to get the idea that this was the pinnacle of the rivalry between the two bloodlines and these two dickheads having an okay match, and then the finish is just fucking awful. Of course, because it's tribal rules, which just is a hand wavy reason to have everybody else interfere.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens jumping in and doing his bullshit. And I forgot who else intervened. Sami Zayn and was it Jey Uso or Jimmy?
I think it was Jey Uso.
So they show up and shit. Roman gets the pin, and I just think, why the fuck are they going to give Roman exactly, like, why are we going to end up exactly in the same situation again, dude?
Now everything that happened in the last like 8 months was means fucking
absolutely
irrelevant.
Fucking nothing.
It meant
dude.
Nothing. It was pointless.
Not even. And I'm like, man, what a great way to bury fucking
Solo Sikoa.
Yeah, as if he was on anybody's radar of being main event material.
Gone.
B plus guy forever, dude. Yep. B plus guy for fucking lifetime. Not worth anybody's time. Nobody gives a shit. That thumb fucking strike to the, I don't give a fuck, dude. Whack as shit. Horrible fucking finish. I can't believe they did this. I think the interesting thing would have been to actually have Roman Reigns lose his wise man to Solo Sikoa. Then we might have had, at the very least, we would have had something different.
Yeah. Something semi-interesting.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, to have The Rock come out again and basically eat up another 15 fucking minutes of him fucking slowly sauntering to the ring, appearing to maybe have a confrontation, and then, like, you know, fucking raising him up and doing all this shit, and then they celebrate and all this dumbass shit, right? Which this was another problem I had in general with this opening of Netflix.
Wait, I got one more thing. So when he came out to the ring, he also did that stupid thing that Maui does and fucking, I mean, man, what a great way to shill Disney.
Yeah.
The Rock has basically become effectively the Gene Simmons of wrestling, where he's just out there promoting every goddamn thing.
Yeah, true.
Not even the person that you knew him once as 30 years ago.
Yeah, no, it's fucking insane. So another issue that I have with this, right, and we'll get to the other nostalgia acts that came out in a minute, but as we count it, essentially four segments were given to nostalgia acts, right? Four portions of segments that were unnecessary given to nostalgia acts. One of them got two, the Rock being The Rock, right? And meanwhile, you've got the guy who's your world heavyweight champion doing a fucking 3.5 minute pre-recorded video package. That's
on the sidelines.
That's what he gets, right? You've got your Intercontinental champion sitting in the audience, and he doesn't even have the belt. He's just sitting in the audience next to some dumb bitch. And what a way, as we've talked about, and I've bitched about in the past, them not giving any sway to titles at all. Like, you've just effectively shown us that you don't give two fucks about any of these titles that exist currently. Like, they don't matter. Because with this show should have been booked like a WrestleMania for Raw, in my opinion. And I think my opinion's right. It should have been booked as we should have got, this fucking show went 3 hours and 2 minutes. We should have gotten 7 fucking matches. We should have had World Heavyweight Title Defense be our main event. We should have had an Intercontinental Title Defense. We should have had a Tag Team Title Defense. Yes, the Women's World Championship did get decided in this show, and that should have also been on there, okay? And then if you want to throw in your CM Punk versus Seth Rollins match, you can have that be in there as well. That's 5.
Fucking, yeah, that should be like the bologna or the salami of the sandwich, and you cap off with the titles.
Yeah, well, you do it, and that's only if you have 5. But you want to have, I think we should have got 7. So you can have your dumbass Ulafala match, okay? That would have been 6. And then if you really wanted to, you could have had dumb shit Jey Uso and fucking Drew McIntyre, Job McIntyre fucking go. That could have been your 7th.
That, right? Should have never been a fucking match in the whole night.
I agree, and it wasn't supposed to be. I don't think. They called an audible, and originally we were supposed to get, because they had been hyping it, Penta El Zero was supposed to fucking debut. And they, for some reason, because there was supposed to be a tag team match between Rey Mysterio and The New Day, and it was going to be Rey Mysterio and a mystery partner, which we all knew who the fuck it was going to be, right? Now, they scrapped that at the last minute, and Rey Mysterio's sitting in the audience like an asshole, and not on the show anymore. And then I think the New Day were involved in some stupid ass backstage segment, which was fucking stupid. And then you've got that whole thing scrapped. Now you've got Chad Gable being in this. Oh, now he's going to fight some mystery partner this Monday on Raw, which, yes, I'm going to watch because I want to see what they do with Penta El Zero in his first fucking debut, because I like Penta El Zero. I'm a big fan. And I want to see. I think that if the WWE, I don't have high hopes that they're going to use him correctly. And I hate to say this, until Rey Fénix comes in, he is going to be essentially the Shinsuke Nakamura of Mexican wrestling in WWE. Like, what they've basically did to Shinsuke when he came in there is what they're going to fucking do to him. He's going to be a jobber for a while, and then when Rey Fénix ends up coming into the WWE and signing his deal, they'll put them together as the Lucha Bros, and they're going to win both tag team belts. And, well, that'll be good for them, right? They'll win some belts. They'll do some shit. But I feel like WWE is going to horribly misuse him as a singles competitor. And it's kind of already beginning right now with this whole situation. Like, I like Chad Gable, all right? And I think him and Chad Gable are going to have a great match. And honestly, it doesn't mean anything, though. Like, it doesn't mean shit. Like, this is what a shitty way to debut. Like, it's like, you're in a fucking a stupid ass match with Chad Gable. And again, I know Chad Gable, he's a great wrestler. I think they're going to have a great match together, but I don't know. I guess we'll see. Maybe this will be some feud. That's probably what he'll hold over. He'll have this feud for a month or two with Chad Gable, and then who the fuck knows. But again, we scrap other shit, but we get four segments of garbage. We get the other two segments with the Nostaljax. I don't even understand what the fuck the point of them was. Like, so okay, so we had the Roman Reigns match, okay, which we both thought was just fucking whack. Okay, we got through that. Then after that, did we get John Cena?
Yeah, I think it was John Cena, and then it was after then I think it was Drew McIntyre and the Jey Uso match.
Yeah. And then it was the women's world. No, I think the women's world title went next, and then it was the Jimmy Uso and Drew McIntyre.
Was it?
Then it was CM Punk versus Seth Rollins.
Well, yeah, and then the John Cena segment was, I think, right after this, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was, and that was just straight hot garbage, man. I have never wanted to see someone fail so bad, and I like John Cena. All right, I liked him back in the day. He's now come back and he's cookie cutter John Cena, like good guy face John Cena. And I also hate him basically doing this whole bullshit of like, oh, I'm not going to go and win and I'm not going to do this and blah, blah, blah. And then doing exactly what I said he was going to do. He's going to fucking declare for the Royal Rumble and then maybe I'll win the Royal Rumble and go to WrestleMania and win my set. Oh, it's not going to happen, but they say never on the 17th title. But I am going to go to the Royal Rumble. Like, I hated that. That was fucking stupid. He also shilled for Netflix as well. I thought he was going to come out and start talking and give an apology in Chinese again, potentially. I was just not happy with the way this kind of played out.
This is just like, I don't know if you've ever seen Wayne's World.
Uh-huh.
When it became like an official television program and not just broadcasted public access cable. So they get money and then it's like, all right, now we want you to do these things. And it's like, oh man, it's exactly like fucking Wayne's World. They got the money, they got the bag. Now they have a TV show and now they have a company telling them exactly what they need to do.
Yeah.
And it's like all the things that were cool about wrestling are now
gone.
They're all being pushed out.
It's all been corporatized. TKO's running the show. Netflix is apparently also running the show. And honestly, like, say what you want about Vince McMahon and his personal life and all this bullshit, right, that's been going on. But I will say this. All that stuff happening and then him stepping down and all this stuff and then selling or whatever, that's probably the worst thing that could have happened. Because now it is truly going to be corporatized. At least while Vince was around, TKO was kind of just letting him do what he wanted to do. But now that he's out of the picture, that's it. they now are calling the shots, in my opinion, at least. And also, I feel like Netflix is calling shots, too.
Dude, I'm kind of curious if this just ends up being a WCW situation with Turner Network. Well, Turner and what was it? AOL Warner?
Oh, yeah.
That TKO is fucking Turner, and then Netflix is fucking AOL Warner.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like, we need you to do all this bullshit. We need to place our ads.
Yep.
We need to fucking, we need you to say thank you on the program and how great we are and all this shit. It's like, oh shit, here we go. Here we go, dude. $4 billion. Like, yeah, you got your paycheck, but who the fuck knows if people are going to check in into wrestling the next fucking year or two if you keep doing this shit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm already, again, because I'm the completionist, I will be watching this year to see John Cena's final fucking year, even though I hope he gets hit by a truck on TV or some shit, but I am not excited about having to continue to watch. I mean, the only thing I'm excited for is maybe Penta El Zero, and then I think Malakai Black is also coming back to the WWE. I think he's done with AEW, and I think he's on his way back, so that'll be interesting to see if they do anything with that.
Yeah.
Other than put him on SmackDown, the B show. But I mean, I don't know if they'll do something with him on Raw. But I digress. So the Cena fucking thing was garbage. Hated it. Then after that, we get the Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley world title match. I also found it very strange, the camera work. I don't know if, like, They kept like zooming in on, like, when their legs would be open, they kept like zooming in on their snatches, man. It was very weird. And now granted, the match, the wrestling itself wasn't like anything to fucking write home about, but that was like overshadowing the match. I feel like with them, they keep zooming in on their fucking vaginas, and I'm like, why? What is the point of this?
That wasn't even the worst part, man. That wasn't even the fucking worst part. It's the fact that Rhea Ripley couldn't have her own fucking moment.
Well, yeah, actually, no, that's the worst part. Yes.
I take that back. So we get this tease of Mark Calloway, the dead man, the Undertaker. We get the flat, we get the lights go out
at the end when she's out. She's walking back to the ramp after she wins, and she walks up and she's there with the belt. And
but they hold up, like, because he doesn't get the bike out there. I don't know what the fuck. I don't know if he got lost backstage or what the fuck it was. But there was a point where Rhea Ripley breaks the fourth wall, looks into the camera. She's like, oh, look at my fucking belt, yeah. You know? And then he comes out, does a fucking lap.
Well, ignores her. Doesn't even acknowledge her existence when he drives right by her.
Yeah.
And then he fucking does a lap. And then, you know how he does that thing where he puts it in neutral and then he fucking just like revs it?
Yeah.
I was sitting there because I was watching it with Ian and Ed, and I'm like, I was like, dude, wouldn't it be hilarious if right now he forgot to put it in neutral and he fucking revs it and it shoots straight through the stage, goes right out from underneath him, and he's just standing there and he's just like, oh, fuck. Like, that would be hilarious. Didn't happen, obviously, but yeah. He does that and then he looks at her and he's like, oh, yeah, I forgot you're here. Like, I think he says that to her, like, oh, yeah, I fucking forgot I got to do this. And then she's, like, standing next to him, and he's like, hey, do you want to do the thing with the arm? And then she's like, okay. And then they do it. And then I'm like, why? What was the point of this?
It's so stupid,
she's
dude.
She's not, like, Rhea Ripley's not, like, a dead man type character. She's not, like, the new Undertaker. She's not, like, an undead creature of the night. Her gimmick is not that. Like, also, he came out as the American Badass, so, like, she's also not that either. She's not, like, a biker chick.
She's so, Australian.
Yeah, she's a fucking Australian. So, none of that made any sense at all. And like, also, she doesn't need a rub from the Undertaker. Like,
not anymore, no. I mean, dude, Undertaker for me is dropped in, like, his stock in wrestling is dropped significantly that not even his own presence can win me over.
Yeah, like, man. I was just like, this was completely unnecessary. Give it to someone who needs it at least. Like, but this made no fucking sense.
Yeah, dude. I just couldn't believe that he had to hog his she had her moment, but he's like, oh no, let me make this about me now. Like, I gotta have my 2 seconds.
Yeah, very fucking ridiculous. Then we get into, after that, I think we get the
Jey Uso
and Drew McIntyre.
Not worth mentioning.
Definitely not. That entrance, I just want to say this. Michael Cole standing out there doing the yeet thing completely out of sync and like he has no idea what's happening.
Yeah.
Was the stupidest thing I think I've ever seen on television. Why does Pat McAfee need to go away? Just fuck off, Pat McAfee. Go somewhere else. I don't need you ruining wrestling for me. They're already doing a good enough job on their own. We don't need you adding to the fucking shit show.
Yeah, there were some weird remarks. Like he said, oh man, I'm yeeting all over myself. And then he's like, oh, don't eat in my suit. Or, you know, Michael Cole said something to the effect of like, don't eat in my suit. What the fuck, dude? What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't even fucking, that entrance was fucking stupid as hell. And also, why does fucking, what's his name? That fucking rapper that came out first. Why is he walking out?
Oh, Travis Scott?
Yeah, why is he walking out with some weird hardcore title that doesn't, like, exist? It's like the new WWE title, and it's like, it's like they made it look like the old hardcore belt. Like,
because he killed 10 people.
He's hardcore now. He's now the hardcore champion. Yeah.
10 people died at his concert, so it was like, oh, yeah.
Here's your hardcore
brother. Look,
yeah.
10 people died at my concert.
Yeah.
What a strange... I don't understand, and this probably is more telling of WWE or TKO that they associate with these people, but they have a knack for picking some of the worst people.
They really do.
I don't fucking know, dude. I don't know.
And yeah, and we get a shit ton more. Every segment in between was people in the audience that are not wrestling, that are active, that are wrestlers that are not wrestling, right? And this is another thing that I fully believe this is from this is a TKO thing. Because I don't need the US or the WWE to be more like the UFC, because that's what the UFC does. That's what they do all the time. In between matches and shit, they show the guys that aren't fighting that night or whatever, and they see them in the audience and they're there just watching, whatever. I don't need to see that. I don't need that shit in my wrestling. That is the worst fucking thing that they have added. One of the worst things that in my opinion at least that they've added. And I don't need them to do it. I don't fucking need it. It's stupid. Again, like, why even fucking show me that they're there? I don't care. Why do I want to see Bron Breakker sitting in the audience? No, I wanted to actually see him defend his belt. Like, I want to, or wrestling. I don't want to see him sitting in the audience in street clothes. That does nothing for me. I understand why the guys in the UFC have to do that, because they only fight once every, like, 6 months or whatever, right? Like, I understand that's how it works over there. In wrestling, you wrestle every fucking week, basically, all right? I don't need you sitting in the audience. That's terrible. Anyways, Drew McIntyre match was garbage. Skip on that. And then after that, we get, for some fucking unknown reason, Hulk Hogan, which honestly, what was funny is the ads in the ring, right? Real American Beer was in two of the corners, I think.
Yeah, they were directly, diagonally directly.
Yeah.
From each other.
And it didn't dawn on me that that's what it was.
No, I didn't know what it was either. I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah.
And then when he comes out and starts talking about this Real American Beer, the second he gets on the mic, Real American Beer, brother, I'm like, oh shit. That's what this fucking is.
Yeah.
And as he's out here trying to show his beer and getting booed out to fucking high heavens, that was hilarious. I don't know what anybody was thinking of. Why would you bring out someone who's a known racist, obviously a known Trump supporter, and bring him out in like the bluest fucking city or the bluest fucking area in America, almost in LA? Like, why would you fucking parade Hulk Hogan out and expect something to happen that was good?
Furthermore, why the fuck would they partner with Real American Beer, dude?
What does Real American Beer have to offer?
How do we know it's not just Budweiser with like a different label on it or something?
That actually would make a lot of sense if that's the case. Let me look up Real American Beer.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I don't think there's no way this is like an original recipe for beer. It's probably some other fucking other beer.
It's produced by Great Central Brewery, a contract brewer in Chicago.
Okay.
Total Wine and More has it for avail. God, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Is that $31.99? God, he charges in can form. He's charging more than a dollar a fucking can. What an asshole. let's see the 12 pack. Is that in, oh, it's in cans. They didn't even sell in bottles. $14.99. Jesus. That's terrible.
Well, the weird part was Michael Cole came to the defense of Hulk Hogan and said, if it weren't for Hulk Hogan, none of us would be here. I'm like, man, you're picking a weird person to defend right now.
Yeah,
like,
that is.
I hope somebody clipped that. I hope somebody clipped that and remind. I hope somebody throws that in Michael Cole's face, like down the road. Like, hey, man, don't forget you supported a fucking racist. Like,
you know? Oh, yeah, that's fucking great. So yeah, basically there are, man, he didn't even make it as like his own fucking company, man. Like, oh, is this just endorsing it? So I think it's just this company making it and they just basically hired him.
He's like the Jolly Green Giant for the fucking, yeah, beer.
That's what it is. Like, it ain't his fucking beer, I don't think.
Okay.
Man, I don't know.
That's pretty whack, dude.
That is super whack. Well, anyways, fuck Hulk Hogan and fuck the Hulk Hogan, as the Iron Sheik would say.
Yeah.
He was right about this.
And definitely just forever, dude, for all time. So where does that leave us?
Then
that gets, that
boils us into the main event.
CM Punk versus Seth Rollins.
Which,
dude, I could barely remember that match. And the only thing I remember is that I think Seth Rollins gets a GTS. He bumps into the ropes, walks into CM Punk again, and gets another GTS.
Correct. This was the exact finish from AEW All Out 2022 or 2023,
yeah.
And it was CM Punk, Adam Page. He gives him the GTS. He literally bounces, does the same exact thing into the ropes, and he falls on him.
I don't think it's Adam Page. It's John Moxley.
Oh, you're right. It's John Moxley. Yeah, yeah. It was the same fucking finish. The exact same finish in the exact same way. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. Once he fell on top of him, I'm like, I can't believe I just fucking watched that.
He walked himself over to him, dude. It was, oh my, man, this was not a good first impression for people that watch wrestling. Like this, if you thought it was ass hattery before, oh man, you definitely, you're sold on this. You're never gonna watch this again ever.
Yeah.
I thought this was gonna be way cooler than, I mean, the hopes were high, but I mean, my disappointment is immeasurable.
Yeah, it just fell apart, man. Like, I don't know what the fuck they were thinking.
And yet again, I hate to bring it up, man, but the Wyatt Six, they did not bring him out to interfere or nothing. Just, this is how you know they don't know what they're doing with them. And they're just going to go away. Nobody cares. I mean, maybe they might get one title, one arbitrary title. It might be the fucking IC title. But that wasn't why make the big ass setup of the big return for, you know, somebody from the Wyatt family to honor the memory of Bray Wyatt, and nothing's really come of it. And especially for this fucking thing, as impactful as it was supposed to be, this WrestleMania of Monday Night Raw, dude, man, we got fucking gypped hardcore, because this was as bad as you can imagine it. Like, this was dog shit. This was like getting butt fucked without the condom. No lube,
and getting them blow their load inside your butthole too.
Yeah, getting your nuts squeezed.
Oh yeah, and then you're shitting cum for like a week and a half because you can't get it all out. Every time you shit, there's just a little bit of jizz just floating in the toilet.
Yeah,
it was terrible, man. I can't. I believe it, but I can't believe it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was not good. I'm not hopeful.
No.
And that's the other thing is I feel gypped in the sense that they kept hyping this up as, oh, this is the new era. It's the Netflix era. This is a whole going to be a whole new thing. This was exactly same old shit. The chant on Netflix. It was the same shit on Netflix, just on Netflix.
It was like putting a black, like, you know, like one of those label makers.
Yeah.
A new era. And all you did was just put a fucking label.
Yeah, you just put a new label on it.
Nothing new. Same recipe, same shit.
Maybe even the worst recipe. Maybe even worse ingredients have been now added.
And now I got to add this. This has nothing to do with anything. Mm-hmm. But remember her last week when we were talking about Wheeler Yuta being a fucking jobber this week? They had Powerhouse Hobbs like clean house, and then he was supposed to kick John Moxley's ass because he goes in the fucking ring. So then Powerhouse Hobbs goes after John Moxley, and then one of the people that's in what's the new group called that's not Blackpool Combat? What are they called?
Death Riders.
The Death Riders. Yeah. So I think there's a woman in the Death Riders, right?
Yeah, I don't know what her name is, but yeah,
she gets out of the way. And then who shows up as the last line of defense?
Wheeler Yuta.
And he gets his fucking ass whooped, dude. And I'm like, oh, dude, I think Wheeler Yuta is becoming my favorite wrestler because, like, he's just
there to get his ass beat.
He's like the least threatening member of it's like the nice guy.
Yeah, everybody can beat him. Like, it's no big deal. Like,
yeah,
it's just so Moxley or fucking
he's cannon fodder.
Yeah, whatever. Cesaro,
Cannoli. Yeah,
it's just so either of them has to take the job. It's just he's the job guy.
Yeah, dude,
the Death Riders.
Yeah, that was the one thing that was good that happened in wrestling this week.
Yeah, that was funny. That was hilarious. So anyways, I don't know. I guess we'll see what the fuck happens. So anyways, you got anything else to add about Monday Night Ship Flicks?
Dude, I think you're probably right about the Pentel Zero. He's not going to mount the shit. Who are we fucking kidding? This is just to keep him away from AEW.
Yeah,
not that he would go back. Not that he would go back anyways, but it's just one less toy that AEW gets to play with.
Yeah, exactly. And, very sad, but whatever. It is what it is. Anyway, go to Game Rage Magazine on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Also, Game Rage Mag on Twitter/X. You can follow Adam at All Gas No Trash Official. And you can also follow Substack.com/@AllGasNoTrashOfficial. All right. Well, that's it. Like I said, hashtag Game Rage is hashtag All Elite now, all elderly. So we'll be signing. We'll be appearing on the next fucking what is their show called again? Collision Dynamite. We'll be appearing on the next Dynamite.
Which one was the one that got canceled? That's the one we're going to be on.
Yeah, Rampage. I think that's the one that got canceled. We will be on the next episode of Rampage. go fuck yourselves.
That was another wonderful, amazing, powerful episode of the Game Rage Wrestling Podcast. And take it from me, ladies and gentlemen, the natural lad, Jet Swag. If there's one podcast, one show you should be listening to, that you should be absolutely grateful for, it's the Game Rage Wrestling Podcast. And one of the things you can do to show your appreciation for all the hard work and dedication that these boys put out day in, day out, just for you people, it's that you can go and you can subscribe and you can like and follow them on the Instagram and the TikTok at Game Rage Magazine. You can also follow them and like them and subscribe to them on the old Twitter, which I don't know what it's called now, but who cares? It's at Game Rage Mag there. Additionally, if you feel the need to really show your appreciation, which you should, then go to their website at www.GameRageMagazine.com and show us some love. Show them some love. And show some love for the natural lad, Jet Swag.